Dear friends, tonight I would like to look at three men in Luke's Gospel. The first one we will find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and beginning with verse 16. "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Just a few days ago, I was traveling across Western Canada, up near a place called Thunder Bay. And the temperature at the time was 25 degrees below zero. And as I drove along, I saw a young man, of all things, hitchhiking. 25 degrees below zero. So I stopped and picked him up. And he started telling me about how he was dressed. He told me he had on three pairs of trousers. He had on three pairs of socks. He had on two jackets and he had on two hats. He was prepared for the weather. After he'd been in my car for a little while, I started talking to him about the Lord. And I found out that he was prepared for the weather, but he wasn't prepared for eternity. But during the course of the conversation, I found out something else. I might say a little disturbing. Because I found out that he made a practice of stealing motor vehicles. But that's how he managed to get around the country. He stole cars and trucks and drove them as far as he could and then abandoned them. When I asked him how's it come that he hadn't been in trouble with the police over such a procedure, he very quickly and very fluently explained to me that he had made two provisions. The first provision was that whenever he stole a motor vehicle, he always wore gloves so that there was never any fingerprints left in the motor vehicle. The next thing he told me was that he had already arranged in advance for a good lawyer, so that in the event anything ever did happen, his plans were all made in advance. So after he had explained all this to me, I said to him, his name was Al. I said, "Al, it seems to me that you have covered yourself in every direction except one. And he got very quiet for a moment. And then he said, I know what you mean. Up there. Yes, I told him, Al, that's exactly what I meant. Here was a young man, my friends, who had made provision so that he wouldn't freeze in the very cold weather. He had made provision for his transportation, somewhat illegally. And he had made provision in case he got caught. But he had made no provision whatsoever for up there. For the fact that he was going to have to do with... Well, when he left me, I left him with a gospel tract, spoke to him a little bit more, and he went off. And as far as I know, when he left that car, he was going on to pursue the course that he had already adopted for his life, still unprepared for the fact, my friend, that he was going to meet God, that he was going to have to do with God about his sin. We find in this portion that we have just read here in Luke chapter 12, someone else that the Lord Jesus has told us about, who also had made every provision for this world, but none for the next. We have a man here, my friends, that this world would call a prudent man, a wise man, a man who thought ahead. When I was in business, how often we used to hear that expression. You have to plan ahead. You have your 1 year plan, and your 5 year plan, and your 10 year plan. Dear friends, here was a man who had all his plans. And as I said, the world would call him a wise man. But God calls him a fool. Thou fool. And you know, my friends, I can't help thinking tonight how many there are here in this company this evening that God would have to include in the classification of fools. We find that this was a rich man, and we find that the Word of God tells us his ground brought forth plentifully. His estate was increasing. His wealth was accumulating. His barns weren't big enough anymore. I remember hearing some years ago about a man in England, extremely wealthy, 80 years of age, and still spending every hour that he can spend trying to increase the size of his estate. And when somebody made the comment to him, why? You can't take it with you. He's reported to have made the foolish comment, if I can't take it with me, I won't go. Dear friends, another man that God would call a fool. A man who, it tells us here, thought within himself and said, what shall I do? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Oh, dear friends, what a difference it would have made if his thinking within himself had said, "What shall I do? I'm on my way to hell." What a difference it would have made if he had said, "What shall I do? I'm a sinner and I'm going to meet God." But instead, my friends, his comment was, "I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do." What a difference it would have made if he had said, "This will I do. I will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as my Savior." What a difference it would have meant if he had said, "I will turn to the God who loves me and accept the Savior that He has provided for me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." But instead, the fool said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater." Build greater. "And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul," oh dear friends, what a difference it would have made if he had said to his soul, "I need a Savior. I need a deliverer. I need one to save me from my sins." But instead he said to his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Many years. Much goods. Oh, dear friends, have you ever thought? Do you notice it says, soul. Soul. Singular. Soul. He was speaking to himself. And in the singular, he says, soul. But then he says, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Yes. Much goods. Many years. But one soul. His own. His own. And he said, "Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Take thine ease." Oh, dear friends, we read this account in the Word of God, and perhaps we might indeed generally agree that this man was a fool. Because after talking about his much goods, and after talking about his many years, we find God saying, "This night." How long did he have? Oh, my friends, I've wondered about that. God said, "This night." Did he have 12 hours? Did he have 6 hours? I don't know. I remember in the book of Daniel how the finger of God wrote upon the wall to warn the king that he had been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That his kingdom was to be taken from him and given to the Medes and the Persians. And the Word of God says that night he lost the kingdom. How long did he have? 12 hours? 6 hours? 3 hours? I don't know. This night, that's all he had. Dear friends, here was a man much goods, plans that covered many years. But the Word of God tells us that he had one soul and he had one night. This night. And dear friends, tonight you have one soul, your own. Just one. Your own soul. And tonight, this very moment, is the only time that the Word of God assures you of time to be saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we read here about a fool. Dear friends, are there any fools here tonight? Are there any fools? I'm talking about fools that God calls fools. Ones who play with the future of their souls. Play with the question of where they're going to be in eternity. We find that God says, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. How many are there in the city of Los Angeles, in the state of California, that are going to be in eternity? In the morning, whose souls will have been taken tonight. I remember many years ago when I lived in the city of Cleveland. I was very impressed one time. We had a newspaper strike in the city of Cleveland. And the two newspapers that published there were both on strike at the same time, and they were on strike for about 4 months, I believe. And when they finally started publishing again, in their second edition, after the strike was over, the newspapers published the names of about 5,000 people that had gone into eternity during the course of those 4 months. They had been keeping the record. As each person died, the notation was made. And then, finally published, they were gone. My friends, tonight, God is giving you an opportunity that you may never have again. The opportunity to flee the ranks of the fools and come to the Savior. But you're not going to do that unless God by His Spirit gives you to see, my friend, that you're lost. That all your goods and all your plans and all your years and all your wisdom amount to nothing in the eyes of God. This man was a fool. And that night, his soul was required. He left his barns. He left his goods. He left his fruits. He left his plans. He left everything. And he went into eternity naked and alone, without a Savior. A lost soul. A fool. Would you turn over to the 16th chapter The same book, Luke, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We find, my friends, here what we might look upon as a continuation of the story from the 12th chapter of Luke. We find in the 12th chapter of Luke that as far as man saw, this man's soul was taken. Here in the 16th chapter of Luke, we're told that the rich man died and was buried. How many deceivers there are in this world that would tell you that's the end? Died and was buried, and that's the end. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us the truth. I remember a year or so ago asking a young man, 8 years of age, I asked him if there was anything that God couldn't do. And his answer to me was, yes, he cannot tell a lie. Yes, my friends, God cannot tell a lie. And the Lord Jesus Christ here takes us now beyond what man sees. You've seen men that have died. You've seen men that have been buried. You've been in a graveyard and seen the body laid away in the ground. And the earth placed in to fill up the hole. Buried. But my friends, the Lord Jesus takes us here on past that. And he shows us the rich man lifting up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And we find that which started off with this night thy soul shall be required of thee, progresses here to this flame, and finally to this place of torment. Dear friends, why? Why would the Lord Jesus tell us such terrible things? Why would the one who came into this world to save sinners and take them to heaven tell us that there is such a place as hell. And not only tell us, but describe to us the agonies of the soul that finds himself there. Lost, a place of torment. Dear friends, this rich man had gone beyond the reach of hope. He had gone into eternity without the Savior. And he finds himself here, crying for mercy where there is none. There is none. He has gone beyond the reach of mercy. He is lost. Lost eternally. The fool. The fool, my friends, has gone. Gone to reap the consequences of his foolishness. In spite of all his wealth and in spite of all his plans. He's here. And dear friends, tonight, 2,000 years later, he's still there. Still there. Lost. Lost eternally, a fool. Dear friends, tonight, God has recorded this in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has told us about this man in order that you, my friend, tonight, that are still in your sins, that you might take warning. This night, thy soul may be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Oh, you say, I have a will. I remember a man, one who was very dear to me personally. And he used to tell me time after time that he couldn't put his head on his pillow at night if he hadn't insured everything that he owned. And it was only 2 months before he died that he received Christ as his Savior. A man who had made all the provisions to protect his earthly goods. And after he received Christ as his Savior, his comment was, I have been a fool all my life. All my life, a fool. Dear friends, tonight, are you a fool? Are you one of Satan's fools? Those that he's making fools and leading right into a Christless lost eternity? How many times have you heard the gospel and you're still not saved? How many times have you been warned, but you didn't listen? How many times have you been invited to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you still haven't come? A fool. Lost this place of torment. You notice the last verses that we read? The rich man in hell says, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Is that true? Dear friends, if someone came back to you tonight and said, hell is real, I've been there, would you repent? Would you believe it? God says, if you won't believe the Word of God, if you won't believe Moses and the prophets, if you won't believe what's written in this book, the Word of God, you wouldn't believe if someone came back from hell to tell you that it was real. Dear friends, tonight, God has a remedy, but it all depends upon you availing yourself of that remedy in time. We have seen two men who went beyond the time allowed and entered into eternity lost. Would you turn with me now to the 23rd chapter of Luke? Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I am sure there are many here that have enjoyed, and I can only use the word enjoy, contrasting the scene that we have here with that which we have in the 12th chapter of Luke and the 16th chapter of Luke. In the 12th chapter of Luke, we have the expression, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. In the 16th chapter, we have the expression, This flame. We have the expression, this place of torment. But here, my friends, we have the expression, this man. This man. Yes, dear friends, God has a Savior. God has a Savior for sinners. God has a Savior for you. And what we have here in the 23rd chapter of Luke is the scene at Calvary's cross when God's man, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross at Calvary to save your soul. Dear friends, He died for you. I thank God that I have the authority from the God Himself through His Word to go to any person in this room and tell them, Christ died for you. He died for you. Dear friends, we talk about love. We talk about love, but there is no love. No love that can be compared with the love of God for your soul. The love, my friends, that led Him to give up the one who was ever His delight to die for you upon the cross of Calvary. To die, dear friends, mark it, to die for you. We find here there was a thief, not a rich man, a thief, a man who was just about to join the fool in a lost eternity. If we were to turn back, I believe it's to Matthew's Gospel, we would find there that at first, this thief also ridiculed the Lord Jesus upon the cross. He was that close. Do you remember how we were saying that the fool in the 12th of Luke had a night? 12 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was. We find here that the thief, he also had a very short time. His life was drawing to a close. And until just moments before that life was over, he was among the fools going on into eternity without a Savior, without any provision at all for eternity. If we were to turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, we would find there a man that's known as the Philippian jailer. And when he heard how to be saved, he had his sword drawn, ready to kill himself. He only had moments before he joined the fool in a lost eternity. But, dear friends, he was saved. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And praise God, this dear man here did too. When his life was that close to the end, God in His grace brought him to the point of acknowledging before God that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. Dear friends, have you been brought to that point yet? The point that says, I am a sinner. Dear friends, I'm not talking about the kind of comment that says, I am a sinner, but not as bad as Mr. Jones down the street. I'm not talking about the kind of comment that says, I know that I've done bad things, but I'm not as guilty as some of the people you read about in the newspaper. I'm talking about the confession of this man that says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This thief on the cross says, we're getting exactly what we deserve. Dear friends, have you ever admitted before God that if He gave you exactly what you deserved, it would be this flame and this place of torment? Have you ever acknowledged before God that you have a need? Oh, pray God that you will tonight. Dear young people, are there those here tonight that have passed themselves off as Christians? You know, I heard a comment the other day. Dear friend, it spoke to my own heart too, as a parent. Someone made the comment to me, I asked about certain young people in a family, and I asked, are they at the Lord's table? And they said, oh no. They said, their mother and their father are not even sure if they're saved, and they're afraid to ask them. Afraid to ask them, because they're afraid of the answer that they might get. Oh, dear friends, why would we fear? Why would we be afraid to ask our own children if they're safe in Christ? My dear friends, tonight, are there those here that have been pretending that they were Christians? Perhaps you've never been asked. Perhaps no one has ever come up to you and said, are you saved? But you've passed yourself off in such a way that it is assumed that you belong to Christ. But your heart tells you tonight that God would call you a fool. Dear friends, tonight, is that true? Well, this dear thief in all his sins came to the one man, this man, that could change his destiny from the flame and the torment to paradise. He came to the one person. Oh, I'm sure many of us here have rejoiced in this account. You know, dear friends, sometimes think about this occasion here. Brother this afternoon was making reference to the verse in 1 Corinthians 4 where it says, "And then shall every man have praise of God." And dear friends, I have wondered how many people there are going to be in glory that will be there as a result of hearing the story of the thief on the cross. How many are there going to be that have been led to turn to Christ because this man turned to Christ? This man turned to the one person in the whole world that could save his soul. And dear friends, he was not refused. He turned to the Lord Jesus and he says, "This man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, Lord, I want to be with thee. I want to have to do with thee. I want to be with thee. Remember me in thy kingdom." And the answer comes back, my friends, today. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do you remember how in the 12th chapter of Luke it said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee"? Well, here the Lord Jesus says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Dear friends, what took place for the thief on the cross this day is going to take place for everyone in this room that belongs to Christ. It could very well be before this meeting is over that we are going to be with Christ in glory. With Christ in glory. Dear friends, are you going to be there? Have you done like the thief on the cross? Turned in all your sins to the only one who can save your soul and asked Him, my friends, to wash away all the guilt and all the sin that you might go to be with Him? Dear friends, tonight this thief is in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been there nearly 2,000 years. Think of it. Think of the choice. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Or today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In paradise. I remember hearing a story some months ago about a missionary who was serving the Lord in Spain many years ago at the time of the Second World War. And I was told that when this missionary heard that the war was starting, he was advised to send his family home to England. And he put them on a boat to go home to England just at the start of the war. And on a Lord's Day, just after they had sailed, he received a telegram just as he was getting up to preach the gospel. And when he got up to preach the gospel that night, he announced at the beginning of the meeting that his wife and his 8 children had all arrived safely home. And it wasn't until the next day that the congregation found out what he meant. That he had received word that the ship had been torpedoed and sunk, and his wife and his family had all drowned. But every one of them had belonged to Christ And he could. Dear friends, let that congregation know that they were all safely home. Oh, dear friends, tonight, if this is the night when you pass into eternity, are your loved ones in the morning going to say, "Thank God, he's safely home. He's with Christ," which is far better? Or are they going to say, as I've heard, oh dear friends, I have heard loved ones say with tears, "We don't know. We never heard his voice confess Jesus as his Savior. Never. Is that true? If this is the end, the last night of your life, are your friends going to say, "We don't know. We don't know where he's gone. He came to Sunday school. He came to the gospel meetings. He certainly heard how to be saved. But he never confessed Jesus as his Savior. And we just don't know." Dear friends, if you're not saved tonight, everyone here, I am sure every redeemed heart here would join with me in pleading with you that you will not go home tonight without the Savior. If this should be the night when you pass into eternity, dear friends, may it be with Christ as your Savior. And if this is the night when the Lord Jesus Himself comes to receive everyone redeemed with the precious blood of Christ home to glory, then, dear friends, may God grant that you'll go too. That you will have come in time. That you might, dear friends, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight.